Listeners, who I know are also readers, have I got a summer book for you. If you haven't yet ordered Dying to Meet You, Serena Bowen's latest thriller with just enough romance, you have to. So, let me lay this out for you. Rowan Gallagher is a devoted single mother and a talented architect with a high-profile commission, restoring a historic mansion for the most powerful family in Maine. But inside, she's a mess. She knows stalking her ex's avatar all over Portland on her phone isn't the healthiest way to heal from their breakup, but she's out of ice cream and she's sick of rom-coms. Watching his every move is both fascinating and infuriating. He's dining out while she's wallowing on the couch. The last straw comes when he parks in their favorite spot on the waterfront. In a weak moment, she leashes the dog and sets off to see who else is in his car. But instead of catching her ex in a kiss, Rowan becomes the first witness to his murder and the primary suspect. But Rowan isn't the only one keeping secrets. As she digs for the truth, she discovers that the dead man was stalking her, too, gathering intimate details about her job and her past. Struggling to clear her name, Rowan finds herself spiraling into the shadowy plot that killed him. Will she be the next to die? You're going to love this. I've had a sneak preview, and I think we all know that Five Year Lie was among the very best reads and listens of last summer. Dying to Meet You is available in every format and anywhere that you buy books, and you could grab your copy, and you absolutely should, right now.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Hey, this is Jess Slahey, and this is the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast. Hashtag Am Writing is the podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, poetry, nonfiction, fiction, book proposals, queries. It's about the publishing industry. This is the podcast about getting the work done. I'm your host today, this week. My name is Jess Leahy. I am the author of The Gift of Failure, How the Best Parents Learn to Let Go So Their Children Can Succeed, and The Addiction Inoculation, Raising Healthy Kids in a Culture of Dependence. I had a column at the New York Times for 3 years called The Parent Teacher Conference, and I've written for The Atlantic and The Washington Post and numerous other outlets. Okay, today we are going to be talking with someone I am identifying for now as Dr. Megan. We're going to decide later on whether or not we get into her full name and all that stuff, but she is being super brave by coming on this podcast because this episode of the podcast is going to be the first in a series. I met Dr. Megan. I've been on the lookout for someone like her, with a book idea like hers, with an aim towards an idea of wanting to be a speaker like her. And I just am really excited to mentor her through the process of hopefully getting an agent, hopefully getting a book deal, and hopefully becoming a speaker. And we're just going to work our way through it. I also have been looking for someone like Dr. Megan because I really wanted to pick someone for you so that we can mentor someone who is dedicated to the process, interested in doing all the homework, and is not going to like give up halfway through. And this is someone who's really dedicated to this series. I'm hoping you can learn as much as possible. As always, this podcast is about flattening the learning curve for other writers. So that's what Dr. Megan has offered to do with us. Again, super brave, like the people who do the First Pages Book Lab and submit their work. This is a really vulnerable position to be put in. And so over the next hour, however many months this takes, we're going to be following her trajectory as an author slash speaker and see how it all goes. This first episode is going to be free for all subscribers to the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast. And after that, we're going to be putting it under the umbrella of supporter podcasts. So if you would like to follow along and learn from Megan's journey, go ahead and hit the support button and figure out a way to support the podcast, because we're, you know, we're here because of you, and we're here and grateful for your support. So with that, I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Megan. She is a therapist. She is a speaker. She is a wannabe author. She's someone who has a lot of experience in her field. She wants to write a book that is squarely in her field, related to her life, related to the life of her patients, her clients. And she is exactly the right person to write it. And it is a book that is needed right now. And so with that, let's get started. As I promised, I have a hopeful, potential, exciting phase new author here with me today. One of the reasons that I wanted to do this sort of, it's not really book coaching, because that's not my domain. I'm not an author accelerator, book coach. But I get asked to do this a lot, and I get asked specifically about the speaking piece of it. So I wanted to get our listeners started with how we met. I would love for you to explain how we met, and you don't have to get specific about places, but how we ended up in the same place together, because there's a reason I decided to work with you, and a reason that I thought that your potential book idea has a lot of a promise. And so anyway, could you tell our listeners how we met?
All right. This is a good question. Let's see. So we met before you knew me. I met you via the hashtag MWriting podcast.
Okay.
And then when I was I think it was just after finishing my doctorate, I found your book, The Gift of Failure. So okay. Then I met you there. But then since I moved about almost 3 years ago now, and as part of my move, I thought, oh, I'm going to career shift. I've been working as a therapist for about 17 years with kids and families. And I love doing speaking. I love disseminating information. And I've been sort of marinating on this idea of a book, I don't know, probably 5 years. And I started emailing some people, and the majority of people actually don't answer said email. So I went to the librarian, and I was trying to get the scoop on those people at the library. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, yeah, Jess Lee, she's super nice. I bet she'll totally answer. I was like, okay, I'm just going to cold turkey email her from the website. Like, she probably won't respond, but I just thought it was sort of a fate moment that we lived in this same small town. Yeah. So it just all kind of perfectly collided.
Yeah, and I think your approach was really interesting because you came at it from the perspective of someone who has done a lot of work to learn stuff in the first place. And when we got together, the book that you told me about just hit all of the, my alarm bells went off. Oh my gosh, this needs to be a thing. And the last time this happened was when I met Kirsten Jones, who wrote Raising Empowered Athletes. So I met her, she came to one of my book talks in California right after Gift of Failure came out. And she met me by saying, you know, I want to write something like Gift of Failure, but for parents of athletes, which I was like, oh my gosh, yes, you have to write that book. And when you told me about the book that you want to write, I immediately thought, this book has to happen. Now, here's the tough part. As anyone who is thinking about writing a book knows, you can't just throw your idea out there, let alone the title, which you have. And the title essentially was what sort of struck me in the first place. But we can't give away the title. We can't give away the main idea. So listeners, I want you to think about when KJ and I originally talked about the book, The Plot. There's a book by, it's a book called The Plot. And the essential idea behind this book, and there has now been a follow-up called The Sequel, both of them really brilliant. The idea behind The Plot was, student comes to a teacher with a plot that is so good it can't fail. And the idea is that, like, well, it doesn't matter. No matter what I do, this is going to just be a thing and it leads to murder. But I do promise not to murder you in order to take your book idea and publish it for myself. In that book, though, the author, Korolitz is her last name, manages to not talk about the plot while talking about the plot, which is the unfortunate place we're in, where we have to talk about this really good idea that I think is, there's a hole in the market, which we'll get to later. We're going to talk about market analysis later. it's as someone who's been in this, speaking in this area and writing in this area for a while, there is a place for this book and this book really needs to happen. And I think, but what I think is fairly irrelevant here because this has to be about what you think. I think you are the perfect person to write this book. So with that, I decided this would be a great way to teach, to do almost like a mentoring series for listeners who would really like to just not just write a book, but also build a speaking career around that book, which you very much want to do. So we're going to do today a sort of get to know you, get to know what you've done and why I thought you were sort of prepared to start this process. Because KJ and Serena and Jenny were like, but is this person ready? Like, are they going to do the things? Are they ready? Is this going to be like a one-off and then she'll disappear into the night? Has she done the work? Is she prepared? So could you talk a little bit about some of the work you've done? Like, you know, you talk about the fact that you have done the professional work and that this book is going to be very much tied to your professional work. But in terms of writing, which is a very different thing, and then speaking, which is on top of that a very different thing, sort of why do you think that it's the right time for you to write this book?
Well, I feel like all of the pieces have sort of fallen a little bit into place lately, mm-hmm. because I thought the right time to write this book was actually 2.5 years ago.
Oh, that's always the right time to start any book, which is always the case. But I will tell you from experience that I think that when you're doing the searching and when you're doing the research and when you're doing the pondering, the book happens at the right time. I happen to think that, which is another way of saying you can procrastinate, but it's not that. It's, you know, it's the processing part.
Yeah, and I feel like the process keeps aligning for me with this mm-hmm. book because I had this idea and I thought, oh, I'll move and here I will sit in my right. new home writing a book because now I don't have a bunch of clients and I'm not as busy.
Once everything is perfect.
Once everything is...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so it turns out that's not a thing.
Right.
And so I was really sort of dragging my feet. And so I, as part of my licensing requirements as a therapist, I had mm-hmm. to take some classes. So one of the classes I took was writing a book for therapists.
Right.
And so I did that and I thought, oh, that's really interesting. So then I reached out to the person who taught the class and I said, what else do you do? And
now, was that a full-on, full-length? Like
that class was just kind of a short,
okay.
like 2-hour continuing education.
But you had to do writing prompts. You had to do the work.
Yeah, it had some low level prompts. I would
okay,
say,
great.
Just
okay.
like sort of marinate, get your idea mm-hmm. going, kind of prompts. And so I thought, oh, that was really helpful, and it made me realize that the missing element for me as a creative is I need structure.
Right.
And so when we met, I was like, oh, homework, bring it on, like, because I love homework. Because I think it gives you some structure around the creativity and gets things flowing. So anyway, so I reached out and then she said, oh, I have this class and it is once a week for 8 weeks and every week you turned in different things and it sort of ranged in an arc from solidifying your idea, writing your introduction, but also like making a faux book cover or mm-hmm. making a faux blurbs mm-hmm. or thinking about how do you use something like Amazon to look at what categories might your right. work be in, which I think is a beautiful gateway over to the Blueprint book.
Right. So I gave you a copy of Jenny Nash's Blueprint for a nonfiction book. All of the books are great. But I think, and I'm, again, not an author accelerator book coach, but I thought it was a really good starting place for the process of thinking about the, like, why me? What is my book? What is my purpose? Who is my audience? You know, who's my ideal reader? All that kind of stuff. So having looked at Blueprint for a nonfiction book, what parts for you have sort of resonated either because they were overlooked in other classes or other preparation that you've done, or you think actually will hit at what you need to work on for this book?
I like it because I think it's really useful in the learning process
okay.
to keep asking same questions in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So every time it kind of elicits a new response, a new thing to think about, a new way to connect it. And so, you know, I originally had this book idea and I wrote down, I think several years ago, 10 chapters.
Right.
And then through the class, I was like, oh, wait, no, there's a narrative quality. It needs to be in parts.
Right.
How does the parts become within one thing? And so, but then in doing this book and looking at it, I feel like the most valuable piece was also the why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why me? Like, mm-hmm. really, because I think to be an author feels vulnerable. To be
yeah.
a therapist is sort of vulnerable, but not really, because
right.
you're not actually, you're encouraged not to share as much about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I
think... Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
You know,
but that's a really important part of this process.
Yeah, and I got me really looking at and comparing... What I really loved was saying, okay, if you thought of your book with other writers in the same category as sort of a conversation, not like as competition, mm-hmm. but as collaboration, like where do you sit with that?
Right.
And to me, that kind of prompt is very helpful because then I even... as an artsy person was like, oh, how do I, like, imagine yourself, like, if you sat at your Knights of the Round Table, who are mm-hmm. your people? Like, mm-hmm. who would you want there? How would that go?
And that gets at when you're thinking about, obviously, we're going to have to talk about, you know, market analysis and comp titles and things like that. That also helps you realize, because you're going to have to write this section, which is, like, what's out there? And why is my book going to be different? Or, and also thinking, and I've talked about this before in another episode, and I'll link in the show notes to that one, not just the books that have been successful in this area and how your book will be different from those, but also you have to think about, like, which books didn't work, and you have to explain why your book is not that. It's a
yes.
whole complicated
yeah, without,
picture.
Yeah, without being like a show and fraud right, like right. kind of person. But also, yeah, because there's a million people that I think are super brilliant that have written parenting books, but either they sound like too therapist-y or
right.
like, or they're a little like light on the actually how does this work mm-hmm. kind of thing. And also accepting you can't be all things to all people.
Right.
So
right.
the part about who's your audience, I thought, mm-hmm. but I think the really golden nugget in that first part too is the why.
Right.
And so I even did that writing exercise, like why... this book, why me, why now, kind of questioning. And I thought that was really helpful because I wrote that more in like a talking way because mm-hmm. I think some of those same things filter into an introduction for a book. But yep. by writing it in an unpolished way, I feel like I reignited sort of the passion for the subject.
Right. Oh, that's so good.
That I feel yeah. like it's missing. Like,
and a lot of that's going to happen during the book proposal process as well. I mean, when you first, full disclosure, we're recording this at my house because it's just easier to have two people in one space. And we're in my office and I showed you all of the bookshelves that are filled with the books for the book proposals that I've written and decided that I don't want to write right now. Because I think that's really, really helpful. And as onerous as the book proposal process is, it's incredibly revealing. It helps you see what's working, what's not working, what you want to write and what you don't want to write. So I'm really excited for you to get really immersed in that process. Okay, so your why. Coming into this, like, given that you're going to have a bit of an elevator pitch for people, what is your why for this book?
I've thought about this
a few times
in different ways. Okay. I was a sort of neurodiverse kid, dyslexic, mm-hmm. ADD, mm-hmm. and therapy was super helpful to me as a child and as a, you know, and Elaine Aaron might say, highly sensitive person. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think there's all these, and I was so lucky because I had like a school for dyslexia and I had all these opportunities in my childhood. And as a therapist, I found myself working a lot with these kids that you might be like, oh, ADHD learning, like that's not normal, but it's actually very normal. Mm-hmm. And within that, there's just such a wide way people can be. And I just sometimes think as a culture, as society, we get so binary. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that gets people really locked into either, oh, no big deal, or mm-hmm. ooh, super problematic thinking. Mm-hmm. And my big why is there are easy solutions to right. helping understand your child.
Okay.
So my why is I feel like there's answers out there mm-hmm. and it drives me bananas that people are like, oh, I don't know what to do right. or there's just nothing. So I feel right. compelled to do that.
So the nice thing about that answer is, and I tend to bring, because it's my experience, so when I was thinking about Gift of Failure, the big why was because I want kids to be able to learn to the best of their ability, to be engaged, to be motivated, all those sorts of things, but also that they're having conversations with their parents about what really matters to them and all that sort of stuff. So for me, there was no one writing at that intersection of parenting and education in this particular way. And because you have cred, not just as someone who grew up neurodiverse, and as someone who works with neurodiverse kids, you have that sort of both sides of the table thing going on, which I think is a really, really, not just a great why, but a really great answer to why me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The why me question we're going to be talking about in future episodes and about owning your expertise. So I want to give you some homework to think about things. And oh, and I have a, I have a little notebook for you. I got you a little notebook. So when it comes to your why, it sounds like you have a sort of a really good hold, a handle on that. But you're going to be asked definitely during Blueprint for a Nonfiction Book and during our conversation to be re-articulating that lots and lots of times. People are going to be asking you about what you're working on, and that can be a really, really great opportunity. It's sort of like when you have to do interviews about your book. You're not going to want to go, like, let's assume all of this goes well and you're going to get to start doing interviews about your book. You need for now to be the time that you're articulating those really good answers. Like, who is this book for? Why? I mean, the question I get in every interview is, give me a bit of your background and why you decided to write these books. And you want that answer to be great. You want that answer to be concise. You want that answer to not be rambling. And that's sort of your, you know, your elevator pitch sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we talk a lot about, KJ and I have talked about this a lot, is I like to have a stack of books that are the voice I'm aiming for. So I've had, there was a book called Duct Tape Parenting when I first wrote Gift of Failure, and she just was really brave. The author of that book was like really not concerned with people yelling at her and saying you're wrong, and she would just had this brave voice, and that was my brave voice book. And then I had another book that was like my owning your expert voice book, and so that they gave me a sense of, on the days when I really needed them, and I need, because one of the hardest things for first-time authors to do is to own their expertise. This is also something that comes up a lot in the Op-Ed Project, a group that I have worked with and mentored with for a while, where they help people who wouldn't normally get the chance to write op-eds to write op-eds. And Katie Orenstein, the founder of that, said a big part of that is helping you own your expertise. Like, yeah, why do I deserve to be the person talking about this? And I think, especially as you said before, a therapist and not having the opportunity to sort of talk about you, that's going to be incredibly important. So having a book for that, and sometimes we refer to them as like our dissection books. So here's the thing, you want a great book that helps with the, no, I have the right to say these things and I'm correct. And then the owning is sort of, and it could be the same thing, owning your expertise book. Mm-hmm. And then you need to find a book whose format is really great for this topic. So like, and it doesn't have to be exactly modeled, your book doesn't have to be exactly modeled on that, but find a book that you feel like really, if you want to integrate narrative arc, if you want to have it be straight up research, if you want this research and the narrative arc to come together, if you want to do storytelling, find the book that you think is like, yeah, this is what I'm aiming for in my book. Find one of those books, because being able to dissect how that person does that. Serena does it sometimes, like when she switched over to thrillers from romance, she needed to be able to say, okay, well, how many pages are we spending on exposition? How many pages are we spending on research? And for me, I found a couple of books that I thought just did a really good job of organizing in the way I wanted to organize it. So having a stack of those books as well is going to be really important.
To my book stack.
Okay, yeah. Hit
in
me.
My kitchen.
Okay, good.
Because I have three kids, and mm-hmm. by about 9:30, most people are asleep, mm-hmm. and no one can, you know, trouble me for a glass of water, et cetera.
Right.
So I have like a big stack, and that is what I think has been really interesting. When I first got here and thought, oh, I want to write, and I was just really feeling blocked and unclear, mm-hmm. My other passion is painting.
Right.
And so I got really into painting and studying art and how did people craft things. You know, I mm-hmm. like studied with other artists, looked at things, and I realized in this writing process how similar it is to the painting process. Mm-hmm. And in a painting, often I'll do an underpainting of a color that might be radically different from the rest of the painting. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it sets the tone. And what I felt like was really useful in working on the writing has been like, oh, permission to be creative about it.
Right.
And to look at other things. So I literally, this is very neurotic, I counted like number of words per page mm-hmm. and then would like multiply them. And then I made a list like in a chart, like how many pages are each of these books in this category?
Oh my gosh.
Just to kind of get the structure.
Right.
In very much a similar process as an artist where you're like, oh, how does this person use light in a painting?
Right.
And I think that's where I feel like by putting creativity, like using those same dynamics has been really empowering because
yeah.
it's that same sort of thing for me.
But okay.
Just finding, yeah, so the more I do that, the better it becomes because it invites a whole new structure you might not have thought of or
okay.
whatever.
I don't know. So, and we'll talk about this eventually, but at a certain point, all of the charts and the graphs and stuff are going to have to give way to this like really big creative and word output. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Right now we're in the planning stage. And then the last thing I need you to think about is, and I don't think it's too early to start thinking about this, is, you know, how is this going to translate into speaking? And how we're going to do an entire podcast just on the planning, you know, obviously you don't even have a book yet. You don't even have an agent yet. Any, all of this stuff.
I get
but, but, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, but in order to really be able to pitch yourself as a speaker, because I think there's even the possibility the speaker thing could happen without the book thing. It's going to happen most effectively, obviously, with the book thing, but it's since that's what you really want, we're going to start planning for that speaking career while the book is also happening, right?
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right. 100%. So you've already done what I was going to give you homework about. So I think what you need to start thinking about is I have given Megan a copy of the addiction inoculation book proposal, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the reason, it's not that I think that my book proposal is all that, but my agent, Lori Abkemeyer, just is amazing, and she helped shape that. So I think it's a really good starting place. And I think the first section, the introductory section, I think would be a really great place for you to start, unless you have anything you think would be another great place for you to start. I want to take your input into this as well.
No, that seemed good.
Yeah.
Because in this class I did, we had to write the intro in the first thing. But then right. when I read what you had, I was like, whoa,
yeah.
there's so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much more. Yeah.
And all of the things we've talked about go into that introductory section, like why me, why this, why now?
Yeah.
And I think the why now when it comes to your plot, and I'm sorry, again, listeners, that we have to be a bit vague, but I think why now with your title and your subject matter, I think it's a really great time for this book as well. And it and without linking it into, you know, popular culture references and stuff like that, I think it's really important to help. Basically, I like to think of this section as the section that the editor, potential editor, will have to go to the group at her publishing house to pitch to say, can I buy this book and for how much?
Yeah.
That section really is, here's why this author is the right time, why it's the right time, why this is the right author, why this book needs to be written, what the hole is in the market. And I think that's going to be a really important part of that for you.
Yes. And that's where it felt like, oh, now this doctoral thing that I did 10
yes.
years ago is coming into play. Because
yes.
I'd always be like, what are your gaps in the literature? And
nice.
You'd have to get really granular about it. And so,
oh, over and over again, I've been like, oh, wait, I can go back to that other thing I wrote in order to pull some of the pieces from that. So this is very helpful. Okay, so for just the two of us, that's going to be the first thing I would love to see from you is that introductory section.
Sure.
And then we're going, this podcast is going to be, from here on out, this introductory level is going to be for everyone. From here on out, this is going to be for supporters. But if you want to follow along on the journey, we're going to remain vague, like I said, about the topic, simply because we don't want anyone to take it. And we are going to keep things a little bit vague on some fronts. But for the most part, we're going to get really specific. Like we're going to be talking about querying agents. We're going to be talking about the what the query format is like and finding an agent. I mean, that's the first place we have to start for you, and I have some ideas, but I'm going to give you some homework around that as well, which is And I think you may have heard this before on our podcast because we've talked about it, but look at the books that you really, really admire in your genre. And then look at the acknowledgement section because people thank their agents, right? Yeah, so, for example, if I'm looking at a stack of books I recommend a lot. So, for example, I really love, Nadine Burke Harris's The Deepest Well and Ned Johnson's The Self-Driven Child and Dan Siegel's Brainstorm and Anna Lemke's Dopamine Nation. Those books sort of hit the tone and the topic that I would be writing about. So, who are their agents? Because those agents are clearly open to topics similar. Now, you don't want to go for someone who's published or, sold the exact same thing, but you want someone who's hitting the spirit of the, and is someone that is reputable and that you're also going to find by looking at who authors you respect thank in their acknowledgments. So that's a good starting place. So that's your other assignment.
Okay.
You can go to the library and do that. You can go, clearly you have stacks of books at your house. You can borrow any of my books you would like. But let's start looking for potential agents to pitch this idea to, because a query is like almost like a mini, is like a super mini version of your idea. Okay. And if they like it, they're going to ask for more. So we need to have that more ready for when you query. Nonfiction is a little different from fiction. And for those of you who have been listening for a long time, you know that if you're gonna query a fiction agent, that agent is gonna ask for a full manuscript, so you better have finished it if you're gonna pitch a fiction agent. That's not always the case, but mostly the case. But with nonfiction, the idea is you sell the book with a proposal. So an agent in this arena is going to be expecting that maybe you have chapter summaries, maybe you have a sample chapter. So those are going to be our early goals for this sort of thing. But I think baseline introductory section is going to be the best place to start. And getting an idea of potential agents is the other great place to start. So how does that sound for you?
Super exciting, slightly intimidating.
Okay.
Because what if I'm like, oh no, what if they love it? And now I've got to like crank out this whole book. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, it's scary. Like Gift of Failure stuff happened really fast. I got my dream agent who I'd been chasing. I don't know if you know this story, but I chased her for 10 years. I knew she was the right agent for me, but I kept sending her projects that weren't quite right. And Gift of Failure happened to be right. But everything happened really fast after that. So I've done like a crash proposal and agent acquisition, but I've also done, the slower version, the addiction inoculation version. So I totally get that each piece of this can be really scary, especially when it needs to happen fast. And there isn't any urgency. It's not like, but we're also going to talk about articles that you could start writing for the media that will start being test balloons for this idea, because it helps if you have an article that does well on the topic that you're addressing.
Yes. And that would be maybe a whole umbrella conversation, but
yes.
I actually was wondering about that because
that's
going to
be
proposal,
a whole episode.
You have all these links to the amazing articles and I'm like, oh no, I haven't done any of that. Sort of, but not really.
We'll do a whole episode on that and especially on how to pitch those, how to think about those. We'll be doing a whole entire episode on pitching articles that are in line with what you would like to write for next book. There are lots and lots of authors who do send up these test balloons to see what sticks. I know lots of them that do that. And there's a balance to be made between including content for the potential book and still sending up that test balloon. So we'll talk about all of that in a separate episode. But for now, looking for potential agents, writing that introductory thing. And then we're going to get together in like 2 weeks or so. And we'll start talking about we'll actually do stuff. We'll do like process stuff.
Yes.
This book needs to happen. I'm really excited about it. I know you're excited about it. And I'm really just honored to be a part of helping in any way. So
mutual and likewise. And this is super exciting for
me. And the dogs have pretty much behaved themselves today. So hopefully they'll continue to behave themselves. All right. Perfect. If you want to get the rest of this series, and I think I'm going to call it something like, I have an idea now what, that kind of idea. If you want to be a part and listen to the rest of this series, you're going to have to become a supporter of the podcast. Becoming a supporter of the podcast gets you other stuff too, like First Pages, the book lab thing that we just recorded a bunch of episodes. I don't know if you've ever listened to book lab, but we get submissions from very brave listeners who give us their first pages. And then we talk about whether or not we turn the page and we critique them. And it's really fun. And then you get other bonus materials as well. So think about becoming a supporter, and I'm really excited about this new series. So thank you for being a guinea pig, because it takes a lot of bravery to do that.
Well, thank you. I am super excited and nervous and excited.
All right. Until next week, and this is for you specifically, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.